In times of uncertainty, the price of safe haven gold rises. But who really benefits? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. First, though, to Italy, where the future of the country's government could be decided in an emergency session of Parliament later today. A resignation by the Prime Minister or a vote of no confidence would end a year-long coalition government of two rival populist groups. Christel Aranda-Hassel, an economist at Mizuho International, explains how a change in government could help bring about a solution to the country's mounting debt problem.
The far-right party that is likely to win the election, they are much more business-friendly. It is a party that was born in northern Italy, which is the industrial stronghold.
So Matteo Salvini, he's the leader of the ruling party. He wants to be the next prime minister. Today, he said a $55 billion budget would be necessary next year to bring about shock fiscal stimulus. Is that the right approach?
Thinking that just spending more will get it all going. That's why we have the debt pile we have. Do I believe that that's the right approach? No, it will just be a band-aid. What you need to do in Italy is structural reforms. Reform the judiciary system so that companies can restructure in a much more efficient, much quicker way. Flexibilize the labor market so that young people get a chance to be employed as well.
Now, is there worry that turmoil from the Eurozone's third biggest economy could spill over into the rest of Europe?
Brussels at this stage is unlikely to be too tough on Italy for increasing fiscal spending because everybody else is facing very, very chilly headwinds. And that means fiscal stimulus needs to come on board because monetary policy ammunition has been exhausted.
So they might be, Brussels might be more lax about how much Italy wants to spend just because they know it'll help spur the economy?
Correct.
Christel Aranda-Hassel there. Let's do the numbers. Italy's benchmark share index is down 0.5% as global shares steady today. And global mining giant BHP Billiton says the U.S.-China trade row isn't yet hurting demand for raw materials. The company reported a 2% rise in annual profit and declared a record dividend. A day after Facebook and Twitter moved to block accounts associated with what they described as a state-backed Chinese misinformation campaign in Hong Kong, the city's leader, Carrie Lam, now says she wants to encourage more dialogue with pro-democracy protesters who have, over the last 5 months, held rallies that have sometimes turned violent. The BBC's Stephen McDonnell reports from Hong Kong.
Her announcement was short on detail, but Hong Kong's leader, Carrie Lam, said she would immediately set up a platform for dialogue with various parts of the community.
This is something that we want to do in a very sincere and humble manner. I and my principal officials are committed to listen to what the people have to tell us, and we want to reach out to the community as soon as possible.
It's not clear how this would work or who might be able to participate. She added that the mass protests, which passed off peacefully over the weekend, were the beginning of efforts to restore calm here. The embattled chief executive has come under pressure to find a political solution following 11 weeks of increasingly violent turmoil, and her offer of wider consultation is being seen as something of an olive branch. Many analysts have blamed her for sparking the current tensions in Hong Kong with a plan to allow people to be sent to mainland Chinese courts and then bungling the government response when hundreds of thousands of protesters took to the streets to oppose it.
That's the BBC's Stephen McDonnell. Investors' appetite for risk is coming back slowly this week, and that has helped push gold prices off their six-year high. But what actually happens when those gold prices rise and fall? The BBC's Nigel Cassidy has been to Baird & Co., the UK's only gold refiner, which is located not far from the BBC's headquarters in central London.
Inside this warehouse, whenever the financial world wobbles and the gold price spikes, well, the phones start ringing even more than usual. Well, Paul Beasley is the head of trading.
When we see spikes up, we do tend to see a lot more scrap come into the market.
One of your colleagues has just opened a tap.
That is gold coming out of that spout.
How hot is that?
1,100 degrees.
Well, from seeing all that molten gold...
This is a 4.9 kilo bar.
It's kind of like a small iPhone.
That's
and
right.
It's got your stamp on it, Baird & Company, London, 1,000 grams.
That's 999.9 parts per thousand.
And what's the minimum amount that I could
buy as little as 1 gram, £40 worth, but it would cost you to store it.
Well, you don't have to watch the news very closely to see why investors are looking for safe havens.
There's turmoil in Hong Kong and Argentina, which just adds to the worries that investors have on the edge.
We've taxed China on $300 billion.
China looks as though China's economy is headed for an even deeper slowdown.
It's these and many other global events which are stoking a classic fear trade. With real interest rates on the floor, investors are betting that gold is more likely to stay strong than shares, bonds or currencies. And that's even though gold holdings pay no interest and cost money to store and insure. So who benefits when the gold price rises? Philip Newman is from Metal Focus.
The miners, their costs are relatively fixed. And so as the price picks up, their profits improve. The other group are the professional investors, and the main group there are hedge funds betting on higher prices. And then as the price rises, they are certainly benefiting from that.
Empires and kingdoms were built and destroyed over gold. Recent events show it still has a power that has never really disappeared. And if you do have $50,000 or so dollars to spare, Baird & Co. have just finished casting the very thing.
The bar that you're holding there has a value of just under £40,000.
I guess if I slip it in my pocket and made for the exit, I'm not going to get very far.
No, we've got a very vicious security guard.
That's the BBC's Nigel Cassidy reporting there. Finally, we've talked before about how Portuguese companies are using artificial intelligence to help combat and battle annual forest fires. Now, a more low-tech strategy has been deployed. Goats. The animals feed on underbrush in the south of the country where forests have become overgrown, which causes fires to burn faster. So far, more than 10,000 goats have grazed 6,700 acres. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.